Hi everyone, welcome to MEV Community Camp. Today's session will be continuous delivery using Visual Studio Online and Azure. I'm Punit Ghanshani, Microsoft .NET MVP based out of Singapore, doing a lot of stuff on .NET, Azure and IoT, and you can visit my website www.ghanshani.com for more details. Alright, so getting started. The agenda for today's session is pretty simple. We're first going to see what is Visual Studio Online, and when it mixes with Azure, how does it actually form a DevOps operation. So we're going to transition ourselves from Visual Studio user to an Azure user and see how we can leverage this for the continuous delivery. Now, we'll keep the slides to a minimum and divide the entire presentation into a little bit of understanding of Visual Studio Online and Azure. Then getting started with Azure and Visual Studio Online, and finally achieving continuous integration and delivery. So let's start to understand what is Visual Studio Online first. So Visual Studio Online is not an online editor, it's TFS on cloud. So that's a team foundation service offering from Microsoft available on cloud. What it means is, it means five users can log in onto TFS on cloud and use all its services for free. Any additional MSDN user can be added to any number of repositories. You can have unlimited private repositories using Git or Team Foundation version control. You can do entire project management on cloud and associate them with whatever code changes each of your users or developers are doing. And you can still have continuous integration to find out the missing tests, to have continuous build done into different environments. So Visual Studio Online is a complete package of Team Foundation Server on cloud that allows five basic users to use VSO free, have unlimited projects under one Visual Studio Online account, do complete project management for all the stakeholders, bug management and release management, and also have continuous integration for the code that we write. Now, how does it really work with Azure? Visual Studio Online and Azure are two different things with only one synonymity, which is cloud. Well, that's not the real case. So if you look into the entire process of Visual Studio Online, it has three different parts of it. One is plan, second is development test, and third is release. So when we come into the planning stage of any project, we have different terminologies like Scrum, Waterfall, or custom methodologies. And all of them have different work items as to planned work, have defect management in some or the other way, and also has reporting and chartings for the senior management. When we come to development and testing, we talk about a source control repository where our source code would reside, whether it is Team Foundation version control or a Git repository, whether we are using a .NET application, a Java application, a Node.js application, or a PHP or a Ruby application, it has different IDEs. So we are referring to unit testing and mocks for all these kind of languages. Then we are talking about testing, we're talking about code reviews. And all these things come as a part of development and testing cycle under Visual Studio Online. Finally, when we have our product ready for a release, we are talking about two different terminologies here, continuous builds and continuous deployments. Now, when doing continuous build and continuous deployment, in the part of this entire continuous delivery cycle, we are looking at some environment where our application would be hosted, and that is where Azure comes into picture. So whatever development, planning, development and testing we have done, that product finally goes into Azure using the continuous builds and continuous deployment. So we'll take a break from presentation here and move on to the code and see how we can utilize Visual Studio Online and Azure for continuous delivery. So this is one of the favorite IDEs, Visual Studio 2015 CTP version. So I'll be using Visual Studio for the purpose of this demo. On the right hand side, we see Team Explorer Connect, where we can connect to our Team Foundation server or Visual Studio online servers or GitHub or any other repository. Now you can claim your own visualstudio.com by just going to www.visualstudio.com and sign in and create a new account. So it's quite simple. You start with free Visual Studio. And you can sign up for Visual Studio Online, where you can choose your own account, and you can see that you have 5 basic user license fees, unlimited stakeholders, unlimited MSDN subscribers, and you get 60 minutes of build free. You get also 20,000 virtual users to do your load testing. So let's just create one demo account, saying demo. Become camp. Alright, so this is the URL that we will be using later on. So let's just say continuous delivery. And we can choose a product process template. Let's go ahead with Scrum and we'll say that we want to use Team Foundation version control or Git. You can choose at this moment. Let's go ahead with Team Foundation version control at this moment. And we'll create the project. It may take around 5 minutes for the entire process to get completed. In the meanwhile, we can go back to Visual Studio and click on the connect button. So we can say select team projects, servers, and add another server, demo-mpcomcamp. visualstudio.com. Just give it an OK. And there it is. So we have a continuous delivery project already added to the visualstudio.com account that we created right now. So here it is. On the website, it says that the project is ready, team project is ready, and we just need to configure our workspace as to where we will get our code. So let's go ahead with the current workspace wherever it is. Now let's create one small application that would work perfectly in this folder, in the same workspace. So this is the workspace where our code will reside. So let's create the simple ASP.NET MVC application. New project, web application at this location, Azure MVC application, and click OK. Yes, and I need some unit tests as well for that. At the moment, we'll not go ahead and say host in the cloud. So let's just say OK and change authentication. Let's say no authentication. We don't need authentication for this application. So this will create a basic MVC5 based application. Let's just hit run and see whether it compiles correctly. There you go. So works fine. Now what we need to do is, the ultimate target is that we have an application and we are onboarding onto Visual Studio Online. So let's see that if a project manager had to really think in the aspects of getting this project done or delivered, would be to start with an initial code base or start with the design. So project manager who did not have any access to Visual Studio would have gone here and then go to the board and would have created some items for the team to work on. Okay, I'll explore myself. So when I go back here and say product backlog item, create a basic MVC website. Cool. Then you'd say check if the code can be checked into VSL. Perfect. So we created some backlogs and we assigned them both to me. Excellent. Now this would internally trigger an email to me. So I have the source code and I am looking at putting this source code into the version control. So as a developer, I don't need to go to visualstudio.com to check in my source code. Now the project manager being here has created two work items or two backlog items for me, and I need to ensure that the code that I'm writing goes inside this Visual Studio Online as per these two items, and we'll keep on adding more items this moment. So once the project manager has created the backlog, it will probably move from a new work item to an approved work item, and that is where the work the developers have to get the work started. So we start with the work. That's my workflow. So I'll just go here and say, okay, I've done my work. Let me add the solution to the source control. All right. Now let me go to pending changes to find out whatever is required to put in the code. Okay, so I can see my entire folder set up here with the test solution and everything. Now, I don't have any queries assigned at the moment, so I can't find out whether what work was assigned to me. So one of the alternatives is either to go back here and find out the item. So it's item number one. I can just say one and say add, and it will come up with a create a basic website. Or alternatively, I can go back to the home of this and I can go to my work. So this would tell us if I did not assign this, this would be appearing here as well. So I would find two works that are assigned to me but not yet complete. So I can choose one of them and say, okay, fine. Check in all the changes. And I can say either suspend, or I can check in, or let's go ahead and say check in. So when I do this check in, what exactly happens is this entire source code that we created on the local gets pushed to Visual Studio Online repository. So if I go back to Visual Studio Online and click on the code as any other stakeholder, who is not a developer, would find that I don't have any source code available over here. These are only the build process templates that Visual Studio Online provided me. So let's just go ahead and click check in. Okay, the policy mandates me to write a check in. First step to creation of the MVC website. Fine, there are 52 items. And it may take hardly a minute. Perfect. So it created a change set. Now when I refresh this page back on the visualstudio.com site in my own code repository, I can see the code over here, and any stakeholder can go ahead and see the code by just clicking on it. Great. So if they have any questions or anything, they can either edit the file directly, or they can also download the file, or they can click and see any annotations added there or not. So all these things is possible just online to view the code, also to see the history as to who created it and what was the chain set. So this is chain set number 5, which is same as what we see here, chain set 5 successfully checked in. So my first task is over, and when I go back to my work, back again here, to my work, I can see that there are two tasks available. I can double click on it and I can actually see the status of the work item, the description, if somebody has added the description, or I can add it as a tag as release one, probably to tag it to release. I can put my estimate effort, or I can also define into which area it can go in. So I can put in a lot of data here. I can define my own storyboard. I can add some test cases which can be used by other team members like QA guys to run the test cases, or I can add minor tasks if the task is big enough, but this task is not that big enough, so we can just go ahead with saying save the project work item. Now I've done with this work, so I can just say either committed or I can say done. So if somebody has to review it, you could adopt a committed state and not say done. So you have a complete workflow of items from getting planned by someone who is a project manager, getting it assigned to a developer who starts developing some source code, checks it in against a product backlog or a work item, and then the workflow follows to the next stage, which is either committed or gets resolved or gets closed. Now at each point in time, whatever source code gets involved goes under the history tab. So it's a complete audited set wherein you can see what was checked in anytime back into the history. So 52 check-ins done as a part of change set number 5, visible all under the same roof. So this looks good. Now let's make it a little bit complicated. So you have views which are in the home controller, which is index, contact, and about. There are three views. Now I've not changed anything into these controllers. And this is the home controller, which has three actions, index, home, and contact, same as all of the views. So let's run this website once again. All right. So we see ASP.NET. Let's just change this ASP.NET in the index page. To say MVP com camp continuous delivery with VSO and Azure. And let's just press F5. Perfect. So we don't really need to redeploy. We don't really need to rerun the application. For things that are on the HTML, they directly get updated at the next reflect of the browser. So all those things come packaged as a part of the integration with Visual Studio, Visual Studio Online. And now we'll see it, how it happens in the world of Azure. So I just did a minor change, and I want to check this in back into the source control. Probably that came as a part of a review again to the backlog number item 1. So I said, okay, review fixed, title changed, and I check in it again. Perfect. So this creates an additional new change set, which is change set number 6. And if I again go back and click here, I'll see just one file checked in against the perfect product backlog item. All right, so let's see how, you know, we can integrate this Visual Studio Online with Azure. So when we go to the management portal for Azure, we can see a option over here which says Visual Studio Online. So currently I have added one of my Visual Studio Online accounts. We can also add the one that we created now. So we can click new and say link to existing. And it shows our newly created Visual Studio account. So let's say go ahead. may take another minute. Yep, perfect, done. Now we need to create a website where this code that we have written gets deployed. So let's go and say create new compute web app and custom create. We'll say Azure MVC 5. We'll put it into the new service plan, which is the same region as that of Visual Studio Online that we created. It's not mandatory, but it's advisable for the purpose of speed. Now let's select Visual Studio Online. You can actually select many other sources like GitHub or local Git repository or a Dropbox or CodePlex as well, but we'll go ahead with Visual Studio Online at the moment. We'll copy the URL from here. And authorize it so that it can automatically pick up the code, also create some build definitions on its own. Let's say accept. Yeah, that's the repository name, continuous delivery. And we select yes. So that will create the website. What it also does is, if you go back to our build, it would have created one more build definition here. Here, Azure MVC 5 underscore CD, which is a continuous delivery for this website. So when you go and browse this website, there wouldn't be any code deployed yet. So if we click on the link, the website would be up, but the code has not been deployed yet. So let's go back and change a little bit in the code and first see the build definition as well. So let's go to builds. We see a new build definition. Let's see, edit the build definition. We go back to the process step. What you see here is a TFBC continuous deployment template 0.12. That's the latest. The solution file is automatically selected. If you want any specific configuration, you can define here. So you can say, take the debug and any CPU. When we scroll down, we see deployment. Now, automatically MVC 5 deployment has been created. When we explore this further, it will show us the deployment settings. It will select the subscription automatically. And we just need to say OK. Now let's go back to the same index.html and say community camp and check this change in. So right click and say, okay, better is to go here. Pending changes to item one. And let's say revised title and check this in. Let's get back to the build tab and see there are two builds that have been started. One is the continuous integration build that is owned by a VSO. And second is the continuous integration build, again hosted on VSO but getting deployed on Azure. So when both these builds are completed, when this build is in specific, it's completed, we'll see this website reflecting the actual homepage of our code. So it might take a bit of time because this will get queued for around another 20-30 seconds and then get picked up based on the peak load at this time. Alright, so now we see that the build that we had automatically triggered by the check-in has already started. We see that build request 8 is in progress and it might take some time. And when we go back to the Azure Management Portal and click on the Deployments tab, we see that it is currently building and deploying the particular website that we have checked in. So once this gets completed, we'll come to know whether the build is successful or not. And if it is successful, we'll see the deployment status as succeeded. I've refreshed the page to see if the deployment has completed, which shows us something better view. Perfect. So it shows an active deployment formed by the IDA check-in, who was the last author who checked it in. So we can go and view the log. And in the parallel, we can, so we see all the build definitions. So it shows us the build that got triggered and how much time it took. It ran for around 2.3 minutes. And within 2.3 minutes, the code that it checked in was actually deployed on Azure. We can go to the dashboard and click on the link to browse the website and see if our changes have been reflected. Perfect. So that shows how you can use Visual Studio Online to plan, check in the code, request for a review, and then integrate it with Azure for continuous deployments. Now, the last bit that we should probably cover as a part of this demo is the scale of this website. So when the demand on this website increases, how do we really ensure that the website is scalable? So we have an option of going on the scale tab on Azure, where currently we are on the shared plan. We need to go into either basic or standard pricing tier to be able to add some kind of scaling mechanisms into our application. So when we go to the standard price and we say save, we get additional options to add scheduling times, or we can scale by mid-prices. So if we have CPU usage, when the CPU usage increases between 50 and, let's say 50% and 80%, add the number of instances to 3. So when it crosses 80, it's between this range, 50 to 80, just add it to 3 or 4, and when it falls lesser than 50, scale it down by one instance each. So we can have such configurations done on the Azure portal, which can help us achieve the required throughput. And we can also go on the Configure tab to see what environment settings we are using. So for example, what version of .NET framework are we using in this application, or if we need PHP or not, if we are using Java or not. So for this example, we don't need PHP, we don't need Java, no Python required. Platform is 32-bit. If you want to have SignalR, we can go ahead and say, okay, we need SignalR in our application. And then we can just save the settings. So when we do all this kind of settings, these settings are effective immediately. And when we browse the website, we'll see the impact just in time. So let's just go through the checklist and see whether we have covered all the points for this demo. We created a new account and repository on the Visual Studio Online. We added a new application and did a check-in of everything against the plan that was set in Visual Studio Online. We created a new build definition, which was for continuous integration. We associated the application with an Azure web app and authorized Visual Studio Online with it. And that's where Azure web app could create a continuous deployment build definition to pick up the source code from Visual Studio Online and to deploy it on the web app. We then went ahead and saw the scale and configuration management on the Azure web portal. So I think we have covered up pretty much everything to understand how Visual Studio Online and Azure can be leveraged for continuous delivery. Thank you very much for attending this session. Thank you.